We're on Daf Tes. So if you recall, the Gemara thought that there's a stira, there's a contradiction here between our Mishnah and the case of Chaver. Because in the case of our Mishnah, if he sees after he finishes his bedika, the chulda going into the house with chametz, then he has to do another bedika. And the reason for that is because ein sofik motzei midei vada. We're not going to rely on the fact that the chulda will in most cases eat the chametz, because maybe it didn't eat the chametz. That's called a ruba de lesser kaman, meaning it's a rov that's built on some sort of assumption about the way nature operates. But there are always exceptions to every rule, so we don't have a real strict rove in the classical sense. We can't count dayanim, like judges who've stood up to make a decision. Or, for example, we're going to have today in Mirz Hashem the sugi of Teisha Chanuyos, where you could look at the number of butcher shops that are selling kosher meat, and you can count them with your finger. You could point to them. That's called the Ruba de Isa Kaman. But the fact that the chulda will eat the chametz, that's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Lesa Kaman means we can't count it. We can't say that we did an absolute survey of every chulda, and we know that the chulda is going to eat the chametz. So that's called Ein Sofik Motzei Midei Vadai. So the Gemara says, but I'll give you the opposite case where Sofik is Motzei Midei Vadai. We have a chaver, and he left fruits that are vadai tevel, and now we have to know whether or not he was mafrish tevel or not. So maybe he was mafrish tevel, maybe he wasn't. And the Mishnah says that we're allowed to eat the fruit, or it's a brice actually, says we're allowed to eat the fruit. Why don't we say ain't sofik motzei midei vadai? We don't know for sure that he was mafrish tevel, we know for sure it was tevel. And just like in the case where we know for sure that the chametz went into the house, we don't know if it was consumed or not. We have to do another bedika, repeat bedika. Here too also, we should require afrasha. And the Gemara offers two answers. The first answer is, no, that chaver is a vadai. We know for sure that it'll be mafrish truma. This is not like the case of a ruba de lesser kaman, like the case of the chulda that will probably likely eat the chametz. Here we know for sure he was mafrish maser, because that's what a chaver does. And maybe the fact that he makes the fruit accessible to us means that he's testifying to the fact that he was mafrish maser, it's not tevel. And that generates a vadai. So it's one vadai of afrosh against the vadai of tevel. And the second answer to the Gemara is no. There was no vadai tevel here, because we have the principle of Rabbi Chanina that a person could take the produce into his house before he does the meruach, in which case the Re'ias Pnei Abayis took place before the Gemara Malacha, and in such a case, it's not Tevel. So Tosfos asks the question, what do you mean it's not Tevel? At least Midrabbanan it's Tevel. He can only do this trick in order to feed his animal, which is called an Achilas Aroi, but if he would eat Achilas Keva, then Midrabbanan it's considered Tevel. So there are two answers to Tosfos' question. One answer appears here in our Tosfos and Masechta Pesachim. The other answer appears in Tosfos and Masechta Menachos. Let's do the Tosfos and Menachos first. I think it's a little bit simpler. Tosfos and Menachos says that once there was Avah Shlish and the Shem Pri emerged, then from that time on the Rabbanan said that you have to consider it as Tevel. Why? Because you're about to finalize the process with Gemar Malacha. So we already anticipate that you'll do the Gemar Malacha. And since now the produce lends itself to a Shem Tevel, because as soon as you do the Gemar Malacha, it will become Tevel. Therefore, we're going to consider it Tevel already now. But it's all Al Shem Ha'asid, says Tosfos. It's all because you're in a situation where the produce lends itself to becoming Tevel through Gemar Malacha. However, says Tosfos, in our case, where he took it into the bayis before he did the Gemar Malacha, then you could never create Tevel. Once it's had the Re'ias Pnei HaBayis, then by switching around the order in which Rias Pnei Abayis took place prior to the Gemara Malacha, there is no possibility of making it into Tevel. And here even the Rabbanan would allow you. Again, the question is, why is he feeding it to his animal? He should be able to eat it himself. So Tosas here, Pesachim, has a different approach. And Tosas says that Enochinami, if you're dealing with a Derabbanan, Tosas says, then if you're dealing with a Derabbanan, then we would apply the principle of Safek Motsimi Devadai, meaning that if the Tvua was in the hands of a Chaver, and we know that Mirabbanan it's Tevel, because again, even if he brings it in before he does the Meruach, before he does the Gemar Malacha, nevertheless it's Tevel Mirabbanan as far as Achilas Keva is concerned, even though again, in this case it doesn't lend itself to becoming Tevel because he switched around the order, but nevertheless Tosfos holds that with the emergence of the Shem Pri at the point of Avos Shlish, it's Tevel Mirabbanan as far as an Achilas Keva is concerned, but we're going to apply the principle of Sofik Motzim Devadai. Aye, why don't we say Sofik Motzim Devadai in the case of Bedika? Because here we're dealing with a Doraisa. Because Tosfos says it's before Bittul. So as Rashi learns that the whole sugya here is Derabbanan, because he already did his Bittul. And the Torah relies on Bittul. Midaraisa b'Bittul b'Amasagi. But the Rabbanan required Bedika, because the Rabbanan are not going to rely on your Bittul. But Tosfos says no. Our sugya is talking about a case where there was no Bittul. And if there was no Bittul, we're dealing with Bali Rabbi Matzi Doraisa. And therefore the requirement of Bedika and Tashbisu and so forth is Doraisa. And here we're going to apply the principle of Ein Sofik Motzim Devadai. Mashenkin, in the case of Tevel, we're going to apply the principle of Sofik Motzim Devadai. Why is Sofik Motzim Devadai? Because we're only dealing with Tevel Derabbanan. Why is it only Tevel Derabbanan? Because he brought it into his house before he did the winnowing, the Meruach. And therefore, the Rabbanan asked it if it's Tevel, but Midaraisa it's not Tevel. And that's the sugya that we did last week. So now, yeah.
Can't you tell by looking at Tevel that it hasn't been winnowed, it's still full of chaff? If you look at it, say, okay. So
but we'll never be able to tell exactly what the sequence was. We don't know if A had been took place before B or B before A.
You
know,
so he didn't do it, maybe. You can look at the stuff and say, there it is, it's got chaff on it, so obviously he brought it in before he did Meruach.
Well, no, we're looking at something that has no chaff on it. Right. And we're just trying to figure out, is there no chaff because he did the Gemara Malach and therefore it's Tevel Doraisa? Or we say, no, he brought it into his house and then he did the Meruach, and then he removed the chaff. That's what we can't tell. Now, if he brought it into his house before he did the Meruach, then we have Machlokas Rishonim between the two Tosas, and Tosas Menachas and Tosas here. What's the status of that produce? One sheet of the Rishonim is at this point there's no Tevel Derabbanan at all. And then you can eat it and do whatever you want with it because that's Tosas Menachas. That the whole Derabbanan of Tevel after Avos Shlish is only because it lends itself to Gemara Malacha. Here it doesn't lend itself to Gemara Malacha. If on the other hand we go with our Tosas, then we're talking about an Issa Derabbanan and a Shem Tevel Derabbanan as far as Achilas Keva is concerned. But here we're going to apply the principle of Safek Motzim Devadai. Because Tosas holds that a Safek in a Derabbanan situation can be Matir because the Safek Derabbanan Lekula. Now let's ask the following question. According to Rashi, that we're dealing with after Bittul, and the whole institution, the whole enterprise of Bedika is only Derabbanan, so why don't we apply the principle of Safek Motzim Devada? You're right. Whether the Chulda will eat the Chametz or not is a Ruba de Lesser Kamon. But even if it's a Ruba de Lesser Kamon, it's a serious rove. I mean, it's more than just a 50-50. You know, chances are very good. Let's give it a 60-70% chance that the animal will eat up the Chametz. Why not apply the principle of Safek Derabbanan Lekula? Bishlam, according to Tosfos, we're talking before Bittul. And if it's before Bittul, we're dealing with Doraisa, we hold Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. But according to Rashi, if it's after Bittul, and this is only a Derabbanan, so why not apply the principle of Safek Motzim Devadai? Why is it different than Safek Derabbanan Lekula? And the answer has to be that Bedika is different. It means that once we know the chametz went into this house, it becomes a makom shemachnisim o chametz, And therefore the chazaka is that there's chametz in the house. Until we know that we got rid of the chametz, that's called bedika. In such a case, we're not going to apply the principle of safek. We're not going to say, well, you know what, you had a cheskas eino baduk, it was a cheskas makom sheesh bo chametz, and now we're going to imagine in our minds that the chametz is no longer there, for whatever reasons. We have a chulda, and the chulda is going to eat the chametz. No. We have no right to do so. Because if you would do so, you're basically undermining the whole enterprise of bedika. What the Rabbanan wanted to accomplish by bedika is to say that if you have a chazaka that there's chametz there, you cannot remove that chazaka until you know that you got rid of the chametz. And the Rabbanan are going to require an absolute vadai to make sure that you got rid of the chametz, otherwise they're not going to undermine and shake up the cheskas eino baduk. The cheskas eino baduk says that there's chametz there until you know for sure, for certain, that there's no chametz. So be bodek lara ner and go into charon and stalk him and convince yourself that after you did an adequate bedika, not one of these superficial bedikas. You know, you put out the 10 pieces. That's not what the Rabbanan had in mind. Trust me. The Rabbanan had in mind a very serious bedika. And then, with that bedika, you can create a chazaka against the chazaka. The original chazaka was eino baduk, meaning there is chametz there. The new chazaka that's going to replace the old chazaka is a chazaka that there is no chametz there. But now you're telling me there was chametz there, but the chulda may have eaten up the chametz? Oh, no. I'm still unsure about that. And as long as I'm unsure about that, I have not been able to fulfill my obligation with Rabbanan of completely undermining my cheskas eino baduk, cheskas chametz, because I'm still in doubt as to whether the chametz is there. So therefore, I have to present to you the following thesis. If you ask me universally, in terms of any Issur d'Rabbanan other than chametz, would a safek be motzim edei vaday? The answer is yes, because safek d'Rabbanan l'kula, as long as we're dealing with the d'Rabbanan. But if you ask me that identical question with regard to chametz, my answer is no. I'm not going to apply, I'm going to suspend the principle, the universal principle of safek d'Rabbanan l'kula, because the d'Rabbanan established you have to be bodek, there was chametz went in, and therefore until you know that the chametz went out, you're obligated in bedika. That's the way the Chachamim did it. And when you think about it, it really makes sense that the whole institution, the whole enterprise of bedika is built on suffix. Because why am I implementing a bedika? I don't know if there's chametz there. My wife did a very good spring cleaning job. You know, ostensibly she got rid of all the chametz. But that's not it. We need a bedika, and that's the way the Rabbanan established it. It makes chametz so different than any other Issur d'Rabbanan. And when I say d'Rabbanan, I mean because on the d'Oraisa letter of Bittul Baal Masagini, according to Rashi, he already implemented bedika. The only thing you could ask me is what was the havamin of the Gemara? The Gemara thought originally, v'amai, right? This is line 3 in the Gemara. Or the fifth line from the top of the page, Vamai Neima Chalti. Why don't we say that the Chulda ate it up? After all, in the case of the Nefel, in Madura Shalakim, we say that the Chulda ate up the Nefel, and there's no Tumah over here. Why not apply the same principle with this second-rate robe, as we call it, the Mestoma? We can assume that the Chulda ate up the Chametz, and therefore we can be Matir. But doesn't the Gemara know that Bedikas Chametz was established on a Safek? So we wanted to suggest that what the Gemara thinks Ema Chalte is that there really wasn't a bias chametz. There was, you know, we say that in order for the bias to be chayav in bedik, it has to be a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. So what qualifies as a makom shemachnisim bo chametz? So you could give me a very material answer, material meaning very physical, and you could say, well, I saw with the naked eye that chametz went in there. And if chametz went in there, that's called a makom shemach nisim bo chametz. But there might be a halachic concept of makom shemach nisim bo chametz. The Torah, the din, is going to define what qualifies as a makom shemach nisim bo chametz. And if a chulda takes in chametz and it eats the chametz, or it takes out the chametz in order to eat it, the chametz never went into the house. It was never called a makom shemach nisim bo chametz. That was the Gemara's havamin. So now we're up to the Gemara, three lines above the end of the Amud. You'll see this V'ein Safik Motzim Dei Vadei question mark. I'm going to prove to you that Safik is Motzim Dei Vadei even in a Doraisa. That's the way Tosus would have to learn this sugya. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa. For Asanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Maisa B'Shivchaso Shal Matzik Echad. So basically, for our purposes, a matzik is a powerful person. Now, why is it important for us to know that this fellow is powerful? I don't know. And the sugya itself implies that he was an idiot, if you pardon that expression. That's not a very nice word to use, so you'll cross it off the records. But he did something that was absolutely stupid. What happened? It was in a place called Rimon. Some people say it's down south. I don't know if you've ever been on the way down, like, is it south of Be'er Sheva? I think it's south of Be'er Sheva, Rimon. People go there now because they have Machtesh. I don't know how you say that in English. A crater? I don't know what you call it. And there's a great place to stay overnight there, and the young people love to do hikes over there. They go up and down, you know. It's pretty safe over there, Be'er Hashem. There are other places that young people go that are not safe. Unofficially, off the record, we used to take our yeshiva to some of those places. But anyway, so they got it down to Rimon. So it seems to me that the Gemara is giving me all these details, which are really unnecessary, just to show you that this was an actual case. Like sometimes you'll see in the Torah gives you very minute details, because the Torah wants you to know that this is an accurate recording of history. It's not just some sort of symbolic message. Now, we're talking about the shivcha of this matzik. Now, the whole subject of this tosis here, Dibra Masel B'Shivcha, which is a little bit out of our range for today, is whether or not a shivcha is metame b'tumas leida. The shivcha has a very unique status in halacha, just like an eved has a unique status. The shivcha is midway between a non-Jewish, I guess you'd say, and a Jewess. I mean, her geirus was only a partial geirus; she didn't have a complete geirus. And the question is whether she's metame v'tumas leida. So that's this tosfos here. Tosfos has the Toras Kohanim. The Tosa seems to be inclined to think that this woman, this Shivcha, is Metami Tumas Leda, which would mean that her Nefel, if it reached a certain state of development after 40 days since conception, would be Metami Tumas Leda. And now Tosa reveals to us a secret that this Matzik was a Kohen. And what does this Kohen do? The Shivcha, she didn't know what to do with her Nefel, so he tila Nefel a bar. She actually threw it down a ditch. Now, what happens with this Kohen here? Bo Kohen hits its bow, he leans over, and his head now is on top of the opening of the bar. So Tosus says, going back to Tosus here on Tesam and Aleph, you'll see about five lines up from the bottom, he says, Omer read the Kohen, there's four lines up before the end of the Omer, Kohen shote haya. It was a stupid thing of his part. Da'filu im nomar shal gvir ta haya, v'kohen zekarav haya, lo haya lo litame. Now, even if we'll assume that he has a din of burial, meaning he has a chovas burial, and a kohen is not allowed to be metame, but for Zayin Krovim he's allowed to be metame. So let's assume that this kohen was related, but nevertheless there would be no mitzvah of kvura to be dochet tuma in the case of a nefel, because at the beginning of Parshas Emor, when the Torah speaks about the seven krovim, like Ovi v'Imo, it means, according to Chazal, and Torah Shabbat, it means B'nei Kayoma. They are viable beings. But he's not Metami to a Nefel. So this coin really made a big boo-boo by plopping his head over the bar, and we're not sure, but maybe he was mahil al hames. Now, what was the Kohen himself trying to pull off of it? Was he trying to clarify? So the Braisa says here on the top of Daf Tesam in Beis, heats its bow, he peeks into the bar, maybe had a flashlight, I don't know. Kidei leida im zachar hu im nekevahi. So let's just very basically review some of the laws of Tumas Leida. With regard to Tumas Leida, there's a fundamental difference between a zachar and an nekeva, as Rashi points out over here. In the case of a zachar, there's what's called 7 Yemei Tuma, and then 33 days of Tara, totaling up 40 days. So any dam she sees after the 7th day, during this 33-day period of time, is Tahar. But in the case of Nekeva, she has 14 days of Tuma. So any dam she sees 14 days subsequent to the birth is Dam Tame. But she now has 66 days of Tahara, and any dam she sees during those 66 days is Tahar. So it was very important for this Kohen to determine whether or not this Vlad was a Zohar or a Nekeva. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that in the case of a Nefel, it's almost impossible to tell whether it's a Zohar or a Nekeva. But at this point, we assume that he was able to clarify this. He wanted to know what the Yemei Tumah and Tara would be, and that depends on whether it's a Zohar or a Nekeva. But now the question becomes whether or not he was Mahil al Ha Nefel, al Ames. Which means that there's a Tumas Ohel in two different directions. There's a Tumas Ohel in which a person is together with a corpse inside an Ohel. There's a common roof over both he, a live person, and a corpse. And then there's a case where there's a corpse that's lying, and the person is Mahil, he goes over the mess. Now, it could be possible, you may recall that there was a machlokus between Rav Shimon bar Yochai and the Chachomim about whether an Akum, you remember we discussed Madura Shal Akum, whether or not a guy is Metame Bitumas Mes. And Rashi here, Divra Maskel Milo Tnan, which is about 10 lines down from Daf Tesam and Aleph, he mentions a Mishnah in Olos that records the Shita of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who holds that an akum, the corpse of a dead person, is only metame b'mago u'b'masa. However, as far as Tumas Oel is concerned, if a Jew is together with a non-Jewish corpse in the same Oel, then he doesn't become, he doesn't contract Tuma. I mean, that could theoretically be a great heter for a Kohen to go into a hospital, even though there might be a morgue, if you can assume, A, that the morgue is full of non-Jewish corpses, B, if you paskin like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, those are two premises that have to be checked out. But anyway, there's a feasibility that maybe he could do such a thing. However, even though according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, there's no Tumas Ohel in the case of a guy, says the Rashash, there's something called Tumas Mahil Alames. In other words, that since Rav Shimon bar Yochai agrees that if you have contact with the dead, even the corpse is a non-Jew, you do contract Tuma, that's called Tumas Mago, then Ohel, in the case of being Mahil al Ames, is considered like Tumas Mago. And Rav Soloveitchik used to always say that he never understood this. It only applies to what's called Tuma Ritzutza, which means that there's no poseach tefach, there's no tefach of space between the corpse and the kever, and the top of the kever. And then if it's Tumah Ritzutza, means it's solid and there's no airspace, then it's Ola Tumah Bokas Viola Lorakia, and then it becomes Tumas Magna. Alright, that for that you have to be oriented in Olos. Now, what's the possibility here? Is there a chulda that may have dragged this Nefel into a small corner underneath the bar, so to speak? Well, there is such a possibility, but no one could say that that's definite. But yet, Uba Maisel Lefnei Chachamim, and the question was whether this Kohen be contracted Tumah or not. and Tiaruhu. They handed down the verdict that he's tar, and he wasn't mahil alames. Why? Because of the access of these animals to the nefel in the case of the bar, and they would have dragged it into some sort of a little hole at that time. So when he was matzitz, when he peeked into the bar, there was no nefel underneath the place that he was looking at because of the chulda. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. We never had a doubt that there was a nefel there. The whole story was predicated on the assumption that this shivcha put her nefel down at the bottom of the bar. With a suffik aru, suffik logar. Now we don't know at the moment that this matzik was matzis. Was the nefel at the bottom of the bar, and therefore he was metami betumas oel, or was it inside a char? Was it taken away, dragged away by the chulda? And yet they would metire him. Apparently, they applied the principle of suffik motzi midei vadai. Now, the impression you get here, at least according to Tosfos for sure, is that the Gemara thinks that suffik can be motzi midei vadai even in a case of a doraisa, because when we're dealing with tumas kohanim, we're dealing with a parsha in the Torah. And ka'asi suffik emotzim nevadai. Now, you're going to have to assume that this suffik is more than just a suffik. I mean, suffik doraisa lechumra for sure. I don't know. You see, there's a great debate here in the commentaries as to whether we're talking about a reshus harabim or a reshus hayochid. Let's assume that we're talking about a reshus hayochid, which means that suffik tuma is tameh. Now, it could be there's a rov, let's say that most chuldas in most cases would drag away the nefel. It's a good for the chulda, it's a good piece of meat to eat. But nevertheless, we don't know for sure. That's a ruba de lesser kamon. You know, you're just building yourself on what you think is the natural behavior pattern of an animal. You know, you went to psych, you took a course in veterinarianism, and that's what they told you in the course. So in most cases, but you still don't know for sure. And even if the ruba, it's ruba de lesser kamon, it still remains a suffik, and therefore how could suffik be motzim de vadai? So the Gemara offers two answers. Let's go through the two answers of the Gemara. The Gemara says, answer number one, lo tema shehi tila nefel lebar. When we look at the Braisa, the Braisa says, ma'isa b'shivcha sobasik echa. Right, shehi tila nefel lebar. You have to amend the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't say, shehi tila nefel lebar. That's what we thought it said. Ela ema, but we have to assume she pila kimin nefel abar. Thus, we're not sure exactly at what stage in the development of the fetus is it. Let's say, I think in the biology here of the Gemara, at least, that we're talking about a placenta. We're not sure if there's anything developed inside the placenta, and therefore, if we don't know that there was a nefel to begin with, so we don't start with a vade tuma, we start with a suffik tuma, because maybe all there was a shilya, what's called a shilya in Lashon Kodesh. A placenta, the bag, the sack, but there was nothing inside the sack, or at least nothing of any significance. So we start with a suffik. Again, the Kohen shouldn't have done what he did, because why did he get involved himself in suffik tumah? That should have been avoided. But at the end of the day, if we have the chulda, and the chulda creates a suffik, so then we have a principle called suffik motzvidei suffik. So we're not dealing with vadai and suffik, and applying the principle of ain suffik motzim de vadai, but we're dealing with suffik and suffik. So the Gemara says that you're going to have to do a better job in amending the braisa, because even if you'll say that you want to add to the braisa the words sheitila suffik nefel abar, lo tema shitila nefel abar, but el emay shipila kimin nefel abar, that still is not going to solve all your problems, because the rest of the braisa, which we saw on the top of our Amud here, Tesamid Bey, says leidaim zocher hu nekeva hiktani. It says explicitly that he was just trying to clarify the nature of this nefel. Was it male or female? Obviously, it was an Eiffel. So we're going to have to make a little bit more of a stretch here in the language of the Brisa. Hachikomer, Leida im Ruach Ipila im Nefel Ipila. We're going to add a whole sentence here to the Brisa that was omitted. And then you can read, so you add to the Brisa that he was trying to figure out if Ruach Ipila means there was no Nefel there at all, or Nefel Ipila. And then you could read the Brisa. Now it becomes a serious reading of the Brisa of Im Timsa Lomar Nefeli Pila Leda Im Zachar Hu V'Im Nekeva. The Kohen was trying to clarify two things. First of all, to figure out if it was indeed a Nefel, and then to figure out the gender of the Nefel. But at the end of the day, he was not able to clarify this. So we're ending up with a Safeg. And if we're ending up with a Safeg, like for example, you want to be Mekel and assume it was a Zachar, right? Who only has 7 days of Dam Tameh. But that's not exactly true. No, it's not exactly accurate to say that that's a Kula, because on the other hand, if it's in a Keva, we get a full 66 days of Dam Tar. So it's a little of a mixed bag. But be that as it may, even though he wasn't able to clarify the gender of the Nefel, but not only that, moreover, he wasn't even able to clarify whether it was a Nefel or not. That's one way of learning the Gemara. The other way of learning the Gemara is that he clarified everything. No, I'm sorry. You have to assume, because again, how would they mitire him? If he actually clarified that there was a Nefel there, then he should have been Vade Tomei. So I guess you have to assume that he never succeeded in his endeavor, in his project to figure out what the nature of this entity was, whether it was a Nefel, etc. So what we're left with is a suffix. We don't know if there's a Nefel there. But now, instead of applying the principle of suffix tum reshus hayachid, suffix tamei, we're going to say, well, we have another suffix to tell us that when he popped his head in, there was no Nefel there. And what's that? Chulda. So the Chulda gives me that suffix that allows me to say that I don't know if there was a Nefel there at the moment, the critical moment when he put his head out there. Now, even on the tzad, because suffix l'chumra that there was a Nefel, but the Nefel was dragged away. And the possibility that the Nefel was dragged away based on the rove of Chulda is enough to create such a fundamental suffix, such a doubt as to whether there should be tumah here, that even in the case of Rishus HaYachid, we don't start with a Vade Tomei. That's interesting. You would have said that since, let's say we turn the clock back before the Kohen put his head into the bar. At that point, we would have assumed, until we know otherwise, that there's an Eiffel in the bar. But that's not... That's true only at one particular moment in time when she was Matil the Nefel into the bar. But now we're going to time T2, the moment when he puts his head into the bar. In the interim, it could very well be the Chulda took it away. So now we have a Suffolk. So even if there was a Nefel in the bar, so from the perspective of the bar, there was a Vadai Nefel, but not from the perspective of that moment in time, the critical moment that the Halach has to address, is when he was Meitzitz, and at that moment we don't know if there's an Eiffel there. So that's a suffix that even with regard to a Rishus HaYachid, we can say suffix tar.
Is it a
Svexfeta
in the sense that we don't know whether it's an Eiffel or the empty air sac, and also the holder may have come and taken it away. So we have two suffixes working here.
Just one second. If on the one hand we don't know if it was a Nefel, because maybe it was just a sack of air. So why not apply Svek Sveka? Oof. One second, that's an excellent question. One second, let me just take a minute of time and see if I can find anyone who asks this question. Do me a favor, if you can, just give a glance at this Tosus and see if by chance, or maybe the Tosus on the previous Amud, In the meantime, I'm going to look in the back here and see. Yeah, this top one here, you looked it over?
Yeah.
Does he mention Svek Sveka?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see.
Right.
So he's assuming that it was what? It was Rishus HaYochid, which is interesting because usually a bar is Rishus HaRab. But let's say Tosus says it's Rishus HaYochid. Yeshlom de Greiras Hulu Badlus Havi Sofik HaRogil Kidapreciously Ill. So David, Tosus is asking sort of the opposite of your question. He's saying like this, that Svek Svek is not going to help me here because we're talking about a Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid is called Svek HaTeichol Arvus. No matter how many Svekas you have, it's always going to be Tomei. So why not say that the suffix, that maybe the Chul dragged it away is just another suffix. So you've added one more suffix. It's irrelevant because you compile up Svekas from here until the heavens and it's always going to be Suffix Tomei. The Tosus answers that Greiras Chula Ubardus Havi Sofek HaRogil. So let's just see what Tosus says about Sofek HaRogil. This, I think, is in the Tosus Divra Maschil Vim Timtsalomar. Let's see if we find Sofek HaRogil there. There, Tosus uses a slightly different language. You see that? Tosti Maskal Vim Tim Tsaloma and Aftesa Min Aleph. The Amai Isalamim Shia Bo Nefel. Ah, the Domi Lesofeg Beer. Oh, wait a minute. Inami. Emer Achalte Odif Mishar Sfekis. The Sofek Arogil Huvakar Levadai. Oh, those are the two key words. Tosti says that Rogil creates a karv levadai. The teda da filu midei vadai boy lememer shiotzi zeh sofik. I think he's referring to our Gemara now that we're doing on Amud Beis. So Tosus has a new phrase here which we didn't focus on, and that's called sofik harogil. And Tosus describes sofik harogil as karv levadai. I don't know what he means by this, because it's antithetical to everything we've been saying. We've been assuming until now that a suffix arugil is a real weak suffix, meaning it's very hard to be makil in that case of a suffix arugil, because even though it's rugil, I don't know. The first answer Tos is a little bit better. Tos says it's a suffix beer. We don't know if there was a nafel there at all. And therefore your question, David, comes back, because if we don't know if it was a nafel or not, then it should be Sofek Bia, which even in Rishus HaYochid is Tahar. So why do we need the Chulda here? In other words, even without the Chulda, if it's a Sofek Bia, just a second. So again, he looks in to see, and we don't know if what? If it's a Nefel. Yishlom the Greiras Chulda Vardus Havi Sofek HaRogil. So let's just accept it right now on a very technical level, just for the purpose of getting through the sugya. And Tosus is saying that the normal principle of Rishus HaYochid does not apply in the case of a Sofek HaRogil, because that's Karav Levadai. And then we have your question, but maybe there was no Nefel there to begin with. So again, let's read the Gemara. V'al Leida im Zohar im Nekevu K'toni. Hachikama leida im ruachi pila im nefeli pila im tinsaloma ruachi pila leida im zacharhu im nekevahi. And the Gemara seems to assume that in this case we can be matayer because we're not sure that it was a nefel, and even if it was a nefel, then we assume that Gira Chulda, which Tosa says is such an assumption that's so powerful, that it's Karav Levada, and it would operate even in the Rishus HaYoch. Iboy Seyma, now the Gemara gives another answer. That again, we're always defending the principle that Ain Sofik Motzim in the Vada. So why would they Matire him here? And the answer is Hosam Vadai Uvadaihu. came in the chuldu badis mitzuyim sham vaday garua behiahi shaita. So now the Gemara is actually spelling out what we saw in Tosus, that this is Suffolk of Rogil, and the Gemara upgrades that to a status of a Vadai. And it's such a Vadai that we would say that even if it's just a Yochid, a Suffolk here would be Tar. Now we're going to say Suffolk is Motzi Midei Vadai in this case because it's like a Vadai that's being Motzi Midei Vadai. And it's almost as if we saw in front of our eyes that he was gorer, that he pulled away the nafel and dragged it into a char, because that's what a chulda does. So let's apply that to the case of chametz. And why don't we assume that in the case of chametz, the chulda would be gorer the chametz and take the chametz outside. Right, so again, what happened? We saw the chametz going in, we saw the chula dragging the chametz into the house. Do we have a vadai situation to assume that it ate the chametz? Then the answer is no. That still remains a suffix. So how's that different from the case of the nafel in the bar? So Gemara spells this out. Nehi dishiure meshaire. That was when a chula eats, it doesn't eat necessarily the whole thing. So let's say in the case of the chametz, the chulda is going to leave some of the chametz behind. But in the case of tumah, we don't have to assume that it ate the nafel. All we have to, what's our goal in order to be mitayer the kohen? Just to get the nafel out of there, right?
Out
of the way. So migrar mias vadai grarum bahishait. In other words, if you're asking me about that moment, then I can certainly assume that there was a grera. And on that we have a vadai. So it's not a case of ein sofik motzvah. In the case of chametz, it's ein sofik motzvah vadai. Because maybe the what you call it, the chulda ate the chametz after dragged the chametz into a hole. Let's say it has a hole. Remember the cartoons, you know, that we used to watch when we were kids, you know, with the mouse went into the mouse hole. So the chulda has its mouse hole, its chulda hole, and it takes the chametz in there, but we're not sure if it ate the chametz or not. In the case of Tumah Tara, I don't care one way or the other whether it ate the nafel. All we have to do is pinpoint that moment when the Kohen was matzitz, and if at that point the grera already took place, that's enough to assume that he was not matzitz and there was no mile LMS and therefore he's tar. But in chametz, we have to go beyond that. We have to say that not only was the chulda goreres the chametz, but at the same time it ate the chametz without leaving anything behind. And that we'll never know for sure, so therefore we need a new bedika. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to ask on our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that as long as we did not see in front of our eyes that the chulda ran into the house or ran from one room of the house which was not yet checked into the room that was already, we haven't seen that. So then everything is okay and he doesn't have to imagine in his mind that the chulda, you know, was right behind his back and brought the chametz in as he backed out of the room that he checked. So the Gemara says, "Umi amrinon ein choshishin shemagira chulda." Is it really so that once he did the bedika, he now has established a new chazaka of baduk, and there's no chametz there, and we're not going to raise the possibility that the chulda brought the chametz in there. Vaktani Sefer. So in order to read the Sefer, let's just turn one page of Daf Yud Amud Beis, and you see the Mishnah on the bottom there? Yes? Everybody with me? The Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis? So the last sentence in the Mishnah says the following, Umasha Meshayer Yanichenu Bitzina. Now, what does Mishayer mean? Rashi says Mishayer means that he wants to still eat some of his chametz. So he did the bedik on the night of Yudalit. He's allowed to continue eating chametz all the way until, let's say, 10 a.m. on Erev Yontif. But the Mishnah requires of him to lock it up to put it under lock and key. That's called bitzina. Why? Kidei shelo yehei tzarech bedika achrav. That he shouldn't get into a situation where he has to do a repeat bedika. And why would he have to do a repeat bedika? Because maybe if he doesn't lock up the chametz that he's saving for tomorrow, the chulda is going to grab some of that chametz from wherever he places it. He designates a certain area in his house, and then the chulda is going to bring that chametz back into the part of the house that he was bodek. So therefore, guarantee yourself by locking it up that there's no way the chulda can get access to your chametz. But if you didn't lock it up, then we would be worried about a chulda. Umi chayshina shemigira chulda v'aktani sefer mashem eshayer yani chenu b'tzina shelo yehei tzarech b'dika achrav. Meaning, if he didn't lock it up under strict surveillance, he would have to do a second bedika, because maybe the possibility that the chulda will get access to that chametz and will drag the chametz back into the house. It means that we are choshesh for greiras chulda. Correct? Why does the Mishnah say? What motivates us to want to impose this obligation of tzina? Yani chenu b'makom tzina. And the answer is because of the chulda, correct? That's what we assume. Although, the Mishnah doesn't mention the chulda explicitly, but it says shelo yei tzarech bedika achrav. So the assumption now in the Gemara is that the reason why you'd have to make a bedika achrav is because of the chulda. So we are worried about a chulda taking chametz that's accessible, and being gorer it. It's going to take it from your place where you designated for tomorrow's breakfast back into the house, and shelo yei tzarech bedika achrav, you'll have to do a repeat bedika. So let's say in the case of bedikas chametz, if you're checking one room, you finish checking that room, we'll call it room A, now you move on to room B, well maybe in the meantime, the chametz in room B, which is accessible to the chulda, was now dragged by the chulda back to room A. Now, Tosfos here, Dibur HaMaskil V'lo Chayshina, is going to ask us to learn the Mishnah again, our Mishnah. The Gemara is asking about the second Mishnah, but let's learn our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein Choshishin, Shemagiru HaChulda Mibayis Levayis Mokal 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 Mokal. So what is the Gemara pointing out now? That there is such a thing as choshen, shemagira, chulda, bimakom, lemakom, etc., etc. And then what are we going to do with Eilu Dover Sof? How are we going to solve this problem? There's chametz in the world, correct? I did my bedika. Not only is there chametz in the world, what else is there in the world?
Chuldas.
So we got a world full of chametz and a world full of chuldas. So I just check one house. Now, if you're going to be choshish for the chulda, then what significance, what meaning is there to you having checked your house? I mean, the chulda is going to bring in the chametz. That's called Eilu Dover Sof, which means that you've basically undermined the whole enterprise of bedikas chametz. So what is Gemara asking now? Tosa says, "Lo par." The Gemara is not asking that the chul is going to take the chametz from your house into my house. The imkain, if that's what the Gemara is thinking, is ein l'davar sof. There's no way that we can synchronize your bedik on your house with my bedik on my house. So that if either you did your bedika first or I did mine first, either way, the one who did his bedika first is going to have to worry about chayshin and shemagira chulda from somebody else's house that hasn't yet been checked, and then ain't l'davar sof. You just undermine the whole enterprise of bedika. So what Tosfos is trying to do is he's trying to analyze the Gemara's question and the premise of the Gemara's question, that we are choshish for chulda, with the principle of our Mishnah of Ein L'davar Sof. How are you going to ever justify a meaningful bedika, you'll never accomplish your goal. So Tosa says no. The Gemara doesn't mean that we're choshish from bias to bias. If we're choshish from one house to the other, that's ain l'dor sof. What the Gemara is trying to prove is that we're choshish within the same bias. Elami makom l'makom parch, from one room to the other within the bias. Dahainu be also a bias atzmo. So we should be choshesh from one part of the house to another part of the house. Nu, so what question do we have to ask now? Is again Eilu Dorah. So I mean, how are you gonna accomplish this feat of bedika? So the answer is, Tosa says you'd have to set up a simultaneous bedika throughout the entire house. So I'm going to do a bedika in this room, my wife will do a bedika in this room, and my children will do a bedika in this. It's going to be divide and conquer. We're going to shoot off the gun, and when the gun goes off, everybody starts this bedika. Now again, it's a little complicated because at what point in time is the chula coming in? I assume, again, this is Berzon talking, I don't know if I'm right, that Kol Zman, as long as you're involved in the Maisa Bedika, there's no chulda, because you would see the chulda coming in. These were not, you know, small chuldas. A small chulda, let's say an ant or something, that's already pirurim. Remember we had the Gemara back, the pirurim is batel me'elav, we don't have to worry about pirurim. So for an animal to come in with a significant piece of chametz, that's something I would see. The problem is, the moment I finish my bedika, then the chulda comes in. But the answer is that at that moment there's no chametz in the house. Why? Because we all finished that bedika at the same time. Now that's a little bit strange. I mean, do we all, let's say we can engineer it that we all start the bedika at the same time. How are we going to engineer it that we all complete our bedika at the same time?
Isn't the point of saying bittul to handle the situation?
Yeah, but now we're talking without bittul. Correct? That's the Tosa's whole thrust. The Re says we're talking there was no bittul. So we're dealing with the Doraisa. Or alternatively, if you hold like Rashi, there was bittul, the Rabbanan are not going to rely on bittul for whatever reason. Now, if you want to know why the Rabbanan aren't relying on bittul, you have to come to my 11:45 class, which as of tomorrow starts sucking. Okay, just a little plug. But so now Tosa is saying the following. What the Gemara is trying to accomplish is that wherever we can, you know, we can obviate the chashash of chulda, we have to do so. Wherever it's feasible, wherever it's possible to engineer it in such a way that we completely neutralize the chashash of chulda, we're obligated to do so in order to accomplish avodika. So we're going to divide up the situations into two categories. There's one called bias levias, and there's one called makom lemakom. As far as bias levias is concerned, ein l'dor sof. There's no way that you can engineer it that, you know, when I finish my bedika in my house, there's no chametz in my neighbor's house. He hasn't done his bedika yet. So then, ein l'dor sof. But kol efshe detakin takune, we have to do the best that we can. And to do the best job that we can, we should be choshish for geras chulda within the house. And the Gemara proves from the Mishnah daf yudam and beis that in fact the halach is very worried about geras chulda within the same house. To such an extent that if you don't lock up your chametz on the lock and key, then you're going to have to worry about a chulda. So once the chulda has access to exposed chametz, you have to worry that it went into a place where you did your bedika. And the Mishnah pretty much explicitly spells out that you'll have to do a repeat bedika. Now if that be the case, then let's talk about the original bedika and the requirements thereof. If I'm going to complete my bedika in one room, and there's accessible chametz in another room, then as soon as I finish my bedik in one room, the chulda is smart enough to take the chametz into that room. Because the chulda wants to deliberately mess you up in bedika, right? You understand? So for choshish for giras chulda, then the only way of solving that problem is that if we have to check the entire house simultaneously. Now how can we do so? We're going to have to set up different people you know, participating in this massive project of Bedika in different rooms at the same time. I think what we have to do is we have to make sure that we complete our Bedika, or at least, maybe if not complete the Bedika, we'll have to set up, I'm going to use an English word I might be mispronouncing it, sentinels? Is this such a word?
Yeah.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Centuries, it's called?
Centuries.
Oh, we're going to have to set up centuries at the knisa, at the entry into each house. Because as soon as I finish my bedika, I've got to make sure, I don't know exactly how you do this, but you have to, you know, it's like Yoshua going around Yericho. So you're going to have to go around the outskirts of that room and make sure, with a sword and a shield that no chulda gets by you. Or somehow you're going to have to guarantee yourself that there was never a chulda that could have come in from within this house after your bedika.
They'll lock the door as soon as you leave.
Yeah, maybe that's enough, and then once the door is locked, I don't know what it would take to keep the chulda out. I don't know, I have to, last time I met a chulda was many years ago, so I haven't seen too many of them, so I don't know how large they are, the kind of furry little creatures over there. I don't know, I'm not so excited about this chulda, but this chulda seems to be like enemy number one. So are we coming to the conclusion, therefore, says the Gemara, that we have to be choshish for Gereres Chulda, and therefore we have to make sure that the entire bias should be subject to Bedika simultaneously? And that's not the impression that you get from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Ein choshin shema gira, and it says, even mimakom lemakom, which means within the same bias. What does that mean? Does that mean that we have to set up, as you said, centuries to make sure that no Chulda can get by, or as Mitch says, lock the doors? I don't know, put up traps. I don't know what you have to do. Oh, so Amar Abayi lo kasha, ha b'arba asar, ha b'shlosh asar. So now we're taking, I guess, if you had a college that was studying chuldas, we're taking psychology 1.1 in the psychology of a chulda. Get this, the chulda on the 13th of Nisan is not going to be hiding any chametz. Why? Because on the 13th of Nisan, there's like tons of chametz, man. There's a surplus, there's a massive volume of chametz to be had. The chulda is not in a state of tension. The chulda is not under pressure. Shchiach rifta bekula bate. There's plenty of bread all over the place. Lo mitzna, and therefore she's not pressured to want to save for a rainy day, because let her eat up this chametz and she'll get more chametz. And therefore, if your bedika took place on the 13th, and that's a chiddush that you can do your bedika on the 13th, then in such a case, our Mishnah says, "Ein choshin shemegira chulda," because the chulda is going to finish up the chametz. But be'arbasar, that's the Mishnah daf Yudam in Beis, there, since you're doing the bedika on the 14th, lo shchicha rifta bekulei bati. Where's the pas lechem? Where's the bread? It's not to be found. So the chulda gets all of a sudden very pressured, very nervous, and the chulda says mitzna. The chulda is going to lock up some of its chametz, save it for a rainy day, because what's going on? There's no chametz. It's like a chametz famine over here. Amar Rava v'chi chulda neviyahi. This is what you call Talmudic humor. If anyone tells you that the Gemara doesn't play jokes, you'll quote him this line in the Gemara. Because one of the neviyos, we had seven neviyos, was called chulda. I mean, there's a whole sugya Megillah, why they called a chulda. That's not a very nice name to call someone. Is your chulda a neviyah? Is your weasel a neviyah? I mean, there's a woman who is one of our seven neviyahs, but the chulda is not a neviyah. Diyada, she knows, ha'idnar besar, today's the 14th, v'lo afi adli urta, she cannot assume that, if there's no chametz around, there'll be chametz baked, overnight or the next morning, they'll be running the ovens and baking nuch. And therefore, meshayre umitmere. Even though now what we see is that there's not enough bread, so the weasel doesn't have enough bread, and it should get into a pressure, but no, the weasel the weasel will make a distinction between the 13th and the 14th. You know, on the 13th, the weasel knows, well, tonight they're going to be baking more bread, so there'll be a resupply of bread. I don't have to get nervous about it. But if it's the 14th, she realizes they're not going to be baking any bread, and therefore she better hold on for dear life, hoard as much chametz. So Rava basically rejects Abaye. It can't be that the distinction between the second Mishnah, which is talking about Yud Gimel, which is talking about Yud Dalet, and our Mishnah here on Daf Tes, which is talking about Yud Gimel, is based on the assumption that the Chulda will know and anticipate whether or not there's going to be a replacement supply of chametz. Is, you know, should the Chulda be nervous about the absence of chametz? Elama Rava, Masha Mishayer Yanichenu Betzina Shemetitol Chulda Befanenu, etc. So, Bli Neder, we ran out of time, so tomorrow we'll pick up Ella Omar Rava. I wish everyone a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.